thank everyone for coming out.
Good to have new faces and old faces alike. I'm excited to start a new Zman, and we had to even modify the name of our Chabur a little bit. Can't call ourselves the Yerdei Chabur for now. Baruch Hashem, expanding our territory, expanding our scope into world of Avon HaEzer, but Ian Halacha remains hopefully an accurate description of what we're doing, trying to learn Halacha deeply and broadly, and seeing things through, seeing from the Makkah, the Mishnais, and the Gemara, through the Rishonim to Turbo Yisosef, Shulchan Aruch, and hopefully Halacha L'maisa. Chabur Mitzvah meet 8:45, so we can end comfortably in time for the 10 o'clock Marv. I was glad to talk and learn more after the 10 o'clock tomorrow as well. Hopefully it will be not only a limud where we come together once a week to learn b'chabur, but that will be the culmination of working b'chavrusa on the sugis. Hopefully this blend will continue of learning b'chavrusa and coming together for Tuesday night cheer. Hopefully continue to be a rich driver of our learning. I'll pass these around. We'll start, who doesn't like dessert? Starting with dessert. So we're actually not going to start with the Gemara. What we have in front of you is the Rambam's 22nd parak of Hilchas Yisur Abida. That's his address for the Halachas of Yichud. There's a lot to say what's on these pages. But if you're starting from the top, before we even get to contents, before we even get to content, what's striking is the top line and the recognition that Hilchas Yisur Abida is in Sefer Kedusha. This is an observation I think some of us have had the chance to think about together in the past. We've spent so much time with the other half of Sefer Kedusha. I think we've been struck in the past by the fact that the Rambam has 14 Svarim in Mishnah Torah. Sefer Kedusha, you have to guess without looking inside what's in the Book of Holiness. I would guess it's Karbonos, Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaKnesses maybe, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah. And you open up Sefer Kedusha and it's none of those. It's where we have been over the last 3 years of Limud, and it's where we're heading in the coming Zman. It's all Machalos Asuros and Yisurei Bia. Machalos Asuros together with Hilchos Shechita and Yisurei Bia. It's the halachas, the guidelines, Rosh Hashanah's guidelines for how we eat and how we engage in intimacy, which at first glance is a very, very surprising table of contents for Sefer Kedusha. Certainly those are important dinim. But the Rambam already writes at the very beginning of Mishnah Torah when he lays out the framework for this, for the 14 Svarim of the Mishnah Torah. He says these are areas that elevate our Kedusha, and these are areas that designate us uniquely with Kedushas Yisrael. It's striking, and it's true, that the halachas that govern two of the parts of life that we share not only with all of humanity, but really with all the animal kingdom, we all eat, and we all procreate, doing them well, and engaging in them not just loosely, but with the guidelines that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us, is the most extraordinary vehicle for introducing and elevating the Kedusha in our lives. The Rav writes in Halachic Man, the second half of Halachic Man is dedicated largely to the following notion. The Gemara talks in a number of places. Gemara and other Midrashei Chazal, this mysterious term that appears at least seven times throughout Sefer Devarim, v'alachta b'drachav, v'alachas b'chal drachav, to walk in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's path means not literally to choose the bridge or the tunnel based on what the godly ways is, but it means to conduct ourselves, to try to model our behavior and model our conduct after the divine model. So the Rambam presents it primarily as a mitzvah of midos, shaping our personality after the divine model that you... the balanced midos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu displays over the course of the totality of the Tanakh. The Rav in the second half of Halachic Man really focuses on thinking about the following, of all the various midos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu displays to us, that we see in human terms of the course of the Tanakh, few characteristics stand out more and the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate creator. That's this is Parsha. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate in creativity. So the Rav in the second half of Halachic Man focuses on the notion that for a human being to tap into his own creativity is perhaps one of the most profound types of Halach Tvajachim. Talks about creativity in learning, creativity in music, creativity in a variety of ways. To tap into our creativity is to be profoundly emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, profound Halach Tvajachim. So if you think about it, on a fundamental biological level, these are two of the most profoundly creative activities. To know what more godly creativity is there, in a certain sense, than to create a human being. Both of those activities, eating and intimacy, create human beings. We literally create ourselves molecule by molecule, cell by cell, by eating. We are literally what we eat. And we create a human being, bring human life into the world through an act of intimacy. So once you begin to think about it in that way, it's not surprising that these behaviors, on the one hand, are common to all animal life, are also done well, incredibly powerful keys to Kedusha. Incredibly powerful keys to Kedusha. So that's really where we're going to turn our attention. We are shifting from Yaradeya to Ebenezer. On the other hand, we're very much staying in Sefer Kedusha. Spent Baruch Hashem the last 3 years in the world of Machalos Asuras. And we're going to turn our attention now to Isuri Bia, and specifically to the world of the specific Yisur of Yichud. The gardens of Yichud are intensely practical. There's a lot to learn and a lot to think about, and it comes up in all sorts of personal and professional situations. The dinim are rich, and the dinim are very, very practical. And hopefully also, you know, your Saul Salanter is supposed to have said that if a Jew wants to raise the level of his or her observance of a particular area of halacha, I'm not careful enough with Shmiras HaLashon. Not careful enough with saying brachas. Not careful enough, whatever it may be, Evan Ezer, Yerodeh, Arachayim, whatever it is. Not careful enough with some area of halacha, so I have to think about, to figure out what my toolkit is, what are my strategies for enhancing that. How do I get from will to practice? I want to be in a certain place. How do I get there? Shmuel Salant is supposed to have said that one of the tools in my toolbox is to learn that area of halacha be'ir. And it's important to recognize the following. He didn't just mean, if I realize that I'm being mechallel Shabbos because there are all these details of borer that I don't know, I better learn hilchos borer. No, that's true. Clearly, if I don't know hilchos borer, it's going to be hard to avoid violating it. But he didn't just mean, complicated details in Shmiras HaLashon. If I don't know all the dinim, I'm gonna slip up. He didn't just mean that. It's situations I know that I know it's Zaza. This is clearly Lashon Hara. This is clearly Chilul Shabbos. It's clear that I need to make a bracha. It's clear I know I have to make a bracha achrona. But I forget. It's not just a question of knowledge. But learning an area of halacha be'ian sensitizes me to its importance and sensitizes me to its practice. So learning these dinim. There's a transcendent, rich sugis and rich lumdus. The limud Torah itself will be shmak. Situations will come up that we'll feel more equipped, hopefully, to handle, or at least to ask an intelligent child about. And more than that, in the spirit of Yisrael Salanter, digging deeply into this area of Kedusha, to this area of Evan Hazar, hopefully will sensitize us b'chlal to raising our sensitivity to Kedusha and to Kedusha of sexuality in particular. I want to lay out a couple of halachic fundamentals that are gonna come up, and maybe some agadic fundamentals as well, as I mentioned in the advanced notes. So this year expects no this introductory shir psicha. There's no expectation of having seen anything advanced. At the end of the shiur, I'll pass on my makamos to prepare for the next chabura. But I wanted to take this opportunity, having framed things, to sort of lay a couple of yesodos. two halachic yisodos, and it may be a larger agadic perspective also. The first halachic fundamental here is to define arayos. It's a term that we throw around loosely. So just to clarify, the Torah has a long list in Achrimos and Kedoshim and elsewhere of men and women who should not, people, pairs of people, mostly pairs of men and women, who are, the Torah forbids from having intimacy with one another. Not all of those situations, those are, broadly speaking, to use the rabbi's terminology, Isurei Bia. Not all of those are referred to as arayos. It's a debate in Mishnah and Yevamos. What level of severity of an Isur Bia qualifies as not just being an Isur Bia, Bia Asura, but this unique terminology of a Gila arayos. Why do I care whether the Isur of a Kohen to a Grusha is an erva or just a garden variety Isur Bia? Why does it matter whether the Isur of Anida to her husband is an erva or a garden variety Isur Bia, the Isur of Anishas Ish to some other man, and so on and so forth? Why does it matter? So there are several nafkaminas. One is that the child of such a union, if an act of intimacy that qualifies as Gili Erva, and then they have a child, so that child is going to qualify as a mamzer with all the dinim that pertain. Another nafkamina, a more basic nafkamina, is that if it's an Isra, whereas if a couple were intimate, but it wasn't to the severity, it was Aser, but not to the severity of Erva, so then what they did was an Avera, but the child bears no mark of being a mamzer. That's one nafkamina. In an erva, another nafkamina in a situation being gila rayos is a tfisas kiddushin. A man gives a woman a ring. He says rei mekudeshesli. If they're profoundly forbidden to one another, to the extent that it's the gila rayos, if a man gives someone else, a man goes over to someone else's wife, gives a ring, says rei mekudeshesli. Eshes is an erva. There's no tfisas kiddushin. Obviously, a very very disturbing situation, but she's not married to the second man. A fellow gives his aunt a ring and says very kedushasly, again a very very disturbing situation, but they're not married to each other, not tefisas kedushin. Whereas a mamzer gives another woman a ring, says very kedushasly, they're forbidden to remain together, but the marriage is chal. There is tefisas kedushin. A third nafkamina, in addition to tefisas kedushin and mamzerus and the children, is that Gila rises be her Vayavar. And the assumption is that that's only when it's an Isur Bia that rises to the level of Gila Rayos. And finally, and most relevant to us, is the way in which these Isurim expand. The way in which, beyond the actual act of Bia between a man and woman who are forbidden to be intimate together, when the halacha presents us with a series of siyag, with a network of siyagim that are meant to protect us from violating actual act of bia asura, those siyagim are going to be more severe if the relationship, the potential relationship, is one which qualifies as gila erva. So those are four nafkaminas, something being gila erva as opposed to being a lower level isur bia. The tefisas kiddushin, the mamzerus, yehor vayavar, and the severity of the siyagim. And obviously, a prime example of that is the isser of yichud, the prime example of the siyag. And this brings to our second, a word about that. So what indeed is the divine mark? Which yisurei bia are called the arayos, which are not? They mentioned that's the machlokas hatanam in Yevamos. We assume the halacha, that with few or no exceptions, if there's an Isser Karis, then it's, if the act of Bia carries with it the penalty of Karis, so then this that relationship qualifies as Nerva. If it's merely Malkus, and then it does not, it's the Isser Bia, but it's not considered Gila Rois with all those ramifications. So that means that the relationships, the family relationships, the incestuous relationships that the Torah lists, those are all the ones that are listed in the Chumash as being us between siblings, between mother-in-law and son-in-law, between aunt and nephew. Those are all Isurei Karis. Some of those also carry with them Isur Mises Bezin, some don't, but we pass them that that's irrelevant for the status of Erva. Anytime there's an Isur Karis, that's an Erva. Another very obvious example is Eshes Ish. Eshes Ish, the Torah says, is Rachman Letzlan, is both Isur Mises Bezin and Karis. So that would qualify as Gilui Arayos with all the various nafkaminas that we gave before. Whereas Mamzeres LeYisrael or Mamzer LeYisraelis, Yisurei Kahuna for going to marry Grusha and so on and so forth, those are all Yisurei Lav, and they may be punishable with Malkus, but they're not punishable with Karis, and as a result, it's a Bia Asura, it's a severe Yisur, but it doesn't carry with it the added weight we mentioned before of Gilui Arayos. Just to broaden our scope for a moment, it's worth considering the fact that we're at the end of Chodesh Tishrei. At the end of Chodesh Tishrei, this in a certain sense is a Tishrei concept also in Hilchos Yom Kippur. You have the end of Maseches Yuma, you have the discussion about the eating on Yom Kippur in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh, and eating other Machalos Asuras in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. And the mother says that when you have a situation of Pikuach Nefesh, you try to triage, you're going to try to violate the lowest level of Avera. The Gemara says you have various, you have to eat something which is treif, you have options, try to figure out which is the lowest level Isser. How do you know which is the lowest level Isser? The Gemara says, Yuma Pei Gimel, that Hakal Hakal Tchila, that's the rule. You're trying to look for, you're trying to minimize the Isser. And the Gemara says that the metric for the severity of the Isser is the severity of the Onish. I have two foods. I need to eat one of them to save my life. One of them is an Isser Karis. The other one is just an Isser Malkus. So better to eat the Isser Malkus. I'm not gaining an Onish either way. But the point is that the Onish is an indicator of the underlying severity of the Isser. That comes up later in the last part of Yuma also. In the Mishnah, the Gemara talk about Arba Chiluki Kaparo. Different levels of Averis require different degrees of tshuva process. And some of the differentiations have to do with it. Is it an Isser Chamer that carries with the Karis, or is it an Isser Kal that only carries with it the Malkus, or not even Malkus? So that same concept is at play here as well. That the Chomer HaOnesh is an indication of the Chomer HaIsser. The Tanam debate, there are a lot of points along the barometer, where we draw the line, and we paskin, if there's Karis, it's Arayos, if there's no Karis, if there's no karis, it's not karis. So we lay out two halachic fundamentals that are going to underpin a lot of the conversation. The first one is the concept of Gilui Arayos. Again, defining, partitioning all the Isurei Bia into the Chamuros and the Kalos. The Chamuros are designated as Arayos with all the four nafkaminas we mentioned before. And the divine line, Machalok Satanam, we pass on the divine line, is there Karis or is there not Karis? And as we mentioned, the four Nafkaminas, so three of them are internal. Is there Teresa's Kiddushin between these two people? If they didn't indeed engage in the BS or they had a child, is he or she a Mamzer or a Mamzeres? And can one violate this Avera to save one's life? But then the fourth Nafkamina was a question of the severity of the siyagim. So that brings us to the second halachic fundamental, and that's the concept of siyag. Here we come to something fascinating. We had dealt a lot with siyagim for those who were part of the Chabur last year. Last year really had been dedicated almost exclusively to siyagim in the world of kashrus. We were in Kufi Bezin, Kufi Gimel, Kufi Dalet, Kufi Tazvav, Tavar, Cholav Akum, Vishal Akum, Pasa Akum, Sheikhar Akum, and all those were Isur Drabanan that were meant, Chazal forbade us to eat this particular food, Chabal, and Chazal forbade us to drink this particular beverage in order to protect some din or another. Some of them were to protect against over-socializing, between Jews and Achrim. And some of them were, don't eat this because you may come to eat something else, which would be in this Isur Daraisa. Drink Chalav Akum, I may end up drinking Chalev Tamei, and that's a real Isur. A real Isur Daraisa. So those are examples of how we usually think about Siyagim. We usually think about Siyagim as Drabanan. Right? Whenever you hear Siyag, it's a Gzeira. So right away we tend to assume that's clearly a Drabanan. Chazal or Gozer, X is Aser, after you may come to Y. Y will be Nisad Daraisa. So don't even do X, you may come to Y. I can't handle a pen on Shabbos. I handle a pen on Shabbos in part because if I handle a pen on Shabbos, I may end up writing. So if you don't even pick up the pen, so I'm less likely to write. If I were to write with a pen on Shabbos, that would be an Issur D'Oraisa. That would be Chil Shabbos D'Oraisa. That's Melechus Kosev. To pick up the pen, to handle the pen, to metaltel klisha melech to Issur. It's not Issur D'Oraisa, and Issur Rabbanan. Chazal forbade tiltel of this kli so that to avoid, to reduce the chance that I come to do the D'Oraisa. That's what I usually think about Siyagim, and that's mostly a correct way to think about Siyagim. Yosef Engel was a brilliant, doesn't capture it, but an exceptionally brilliant Talmud Chacham in Poland, the early 1900s. Probably most famous for a pair of Svarim, Asvin Daraisa and Lekach Tov. In his Sefer Lekach Tov, both of those Svarim are just collections of Simanim on different topics, all very, very broad ranging, incredible Polish Bikias. So one of his essays in Lekach Tov, he writes, you know, he says, sometimes people assume that Gzeiros HaDrabanan, that Siyagim, I have a din that's here in order to protect a different cordon, that Siyagim HaDrabanan. He says, that's not always true. If you think Siyagim are always Drabanan, let me give you the following 15-20 counter examples. And he just riles them off. He establishes there very, very solidly that the concept of a siyag d'oraisa. Usually siyagim are drabanan, most siyagim are drabanan, but there are siyagim that are d'oraisa. A couple of years ago, we began Hilchos Bas B'chalav, so we saw at the very beginning the opening of the conversation, the Tanan point out that the same phrase appears three times in Chumash, twice in Shmos, and once in Devarmos, Tanam tell us that indicates there are three separate Yisur, it's not just an Yisur Bishol, it's also Yisur Achila, Yisur Hana. I can neither cook meat and milk together, Minat Torah, nor can I eat or have an other benefit from meat and milk that have been cooked together. And the Kesef Mishnah comments, yes, three Yisur D'Oraisa derived from Sukkim and the Chumash. The reason why the Torah forbade me from cooking Bas B'chalav, what's wrong with cooking the Bas B'chalav? The answer is, if I cook the Bas B'chalav, I end up eating the Bas B'chalav. You don't even cook it, so you have no Bas B'chalav, which I could eat. It's Asim Drabanan to eat cold Bas B'chalav together. But the Isser D'Oraisa of Achila is only if they have been cooked together. So cold when they haven't been cooked together, I can't violate the Isser Achila. In other words, points out Rizzo and go, because the Mishnah is saying that the Isser Bishol, Bas B'chalav, Siyag D'Oraisa to the Isser of Achila. Tosfos indicates, and the Ran says explicitly, the opening Amud of Psachim, why did the Torah forbid me from owning Chametz? Why did the Torah forbid me from owning Chametz? Bali Rav, Bali Matzeh, Psukim of the Chumash, one or two of the 365 Lav in the Torah are owning Chametz. Tosfos and the Ran say, you can't own Chametz because if you maintain ownership of Chametz, you're more likely to eat on Pesach. They work on what the Torah doesn't forbid me from owning other machalos asuras. So there are various explanations to why chametz is more precarious, because it's usually mutter, or maybe other explanations. Whatever the rationale, Tosfos and the Ran both say the Torah forbids me from owning it as a siyag to eating it. Rashi in this week's parsha. Yosef Engel points to Rashi in this week's parsha. Rashi in this week's parsha talks about, I think we've discussed, some of us discussed this in the past, very, very striking pasuk, we're so used to it because we say it all the time. Kadosh Baruch Hu finished his work on the seventh day. So Rashi says, wait a minute, I thought he didn't do any work on the seventh day. But the whole deal was that he did work on the way it says elsewhere in Chumash. Gadol did work it for 6 days. The seventh day he rested. All of a sudden here it says that he finished it up on the seventh day. What's that? A couple of more things to take care of the office. Well, my masa. So Rashi has two explanations. One of which is if Adam Chava would have been watching, it would have looked like HaKadosh Baruch went over the line because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzem mamish every last moment of day six. A Friday was filled with malacha. The very first moment of Shabbos is already malacha free. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to go up the line and stop right there. Human beings can't do that, and that's why there's a din Tosef HaShabbos. Clearly stating that Tosef HaShabbos is a siyag, indicating, and the Shiltei Giborim in Yuma says explicitly, it's an Isser Daraisa. There's a din daraisa, that's what it sounds like in Masechus Yuma. A din daraisa of Tosef HaShabbos, a siyag to protect you from doing malacha on Shabbos. Wow. So you have siyagim daraisa in the world of Shabbos, siyagim daraisa in the world of Basim Chal, siyagim daraisa in the world of Chametz. And then we come to an avos to Rabbi Nassim, that Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes, that Mesillas Yesharim, a couple centuries before, he already quoted. Avos to Rabbi Nassim, and there are later Midrashim that say this as well, comment on this phenomenon explicitly. The Tanam, the avos to Rabbi Nassim, Rabbi Nassim is like an expansion, like Bryce's, I expanded the themes of Pirkei Avos. Then you hear Pirkei Avos, one of the three messages or three mottos of Rav Shechter spoke about his first days of Yom Tov, three mottos of Anshin Mesedadol is Asus Yag Latorah to make Siyagim. So in the Mishnayos, it's just three words, Asus Yag Latorah. The Avos Rabbi Nassim has pages and pages about Asus Yag Latorah. Avos Rabbi Nassim says, where did they get this idea from? Where did they get this idea from to make a Siyag? So, ultimately, the authority of Chazal to make Siyagim is rooted in the Drasha. Asum Mishmar, Asum Mishmarati. Rabbi Nassim says it's modeled after what goes on in Chumash. Rabbi Nassim says it makes, the Rabbi Nassim, 18 centuries ago, explicitly makes Rabbi Yosef Engel's point. Rabbi Nassim says explicitly, Shahariya Torah asks the Seder Shalat Dvarayah. After all, the Torah itself makes Siyagim. And Rabbi Nassim gives two examples. One is another eating example. Rav Nassim says, the Torah forbids you, it's explicit psukim of the Chumash. According to the Rambam's count, these are several of the 365 lavim. That a Nazir, one of the three areas a Nazir is prohibited from is drinking wine. The Torah says, not only wine, you can't eat grapes, you can't eat grape skins, you can't eat grape seeds. Rav Nassim says, I understand about the drinking, not drinking wine. He's taking a step back from some of the pleasures of Al Mazeh. He wants to limit excess. He saw sota. He saw what alcohol can do. So he's taking a step back from intoxication. But no one gets high on grape juice. Oh. The zaga and the chartzana. What's wrong with eating grape skins and eating grape seeds? It doesn't sound very appealing. But what's wrong with that? Rav Nassim says it's a siyag. Psukim b'chumash, mamish, explicit psukim b'chumash. Lav and deraisa. There are a siyag to another lav. You don't want the nose to drink wine, so you say just avoid all grape products. Then the Avos Rabbi Nassim says, the Torah says, Lo sikrvu l'galo zerva. The Torah says, a man and woman can't be intimate, even if they're married together, when she's an eidah. The Torah doesn't just say, can't be megala erva, can't have an active bia. The Torah says, Lo sikrvu l'galo zerva. It says, Lo sikrvu. The Avos Rabbi Nassim says, that means you can't even have physical contact. Physical contact, that's not an active bia. A siyag deraisa. Wow. So now let's take a step back for a moment and think about. So that the first topic we had dealt with before is erva. Now we're expanding on the topic of siyag and specifically siyag deraisa. So let's think about what we have. We have Yosef Engel, early 1900s. Pointed out a concept that the Tanon themselves already began to articulate in Avos Rabbi Nassim and later Midrashim. Of a siyag deraisa. And where have we seen siyag deraisa? In what areas? Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taras Mishpacha. Right? So in the area of Kashrus, area of Shabbos, the Sefer Shabbos is the siyag to Melach on Shabbos itself. So three that have to do with Kashrus. Bishul Basu Bechal, Atu Achilas Basu Bechal, owning Chametz, Atu Achilas Chametz, and consuming other grape products or grape parts up to the nazir drinking wine. And kirvasa negia, as it's colloquially called, atu, an actual act of bia. So I think it's worth considering the following extension of the logic of the Avos Reb Nosson. Avos Reb Nosson said that the fact that Chazal makes zeros, so that's patterned after the fact that the Torah itself makes zeros. What the Avos Reb Nosson is saying is that the Gemara has an idea that Rosh Shechter has written somewhat extensively about Kol Tikkun Rabbanan Ka'Indor Eisei Tikkun, and I think he spoke about the first days of Sukkot also. When Chazal makes zeros, they try as much as possible to use, instead of inventing new categories, to use the categories that already exist on the Eisei level and expand them on Drabbanan level. So to try and make so that Drabbanan, the deemed Drabbanan, are as natural an extension of the deemed Eisei as possible. All part of one mosaic of Torah Shvah Peh. So it's not only on the specific level, like you have a notion, a concept of Kli Min HaTorah, the context of Tum V'Tara, so that's used to help shape some of the categories of Muktzah Midrabanan. Or you already have a Tchum Shabbos Al Payim Amah, that's Drabanan, but that's rooted in the notion of a 2,000 Amah vicinity of a city, that goes back to the Deim Darais of Ori Halagim. So yeah. Kol Tikkun Rabbanan in sort of a specific sense. You have, I think, here in a broader sense too. Not just specific Zeres Rabbanan are using concepts that already appear in HaTorah, but the whole concept of Siyagim Daraisa, of Siyagim Rabbanan, is as a whole, Ke'en Daraisa, Ke'en the Siyagim Daraisa. That's what the Avos Reb Nosson is saying. So let's take it a step further. It's not just that we have Siyagim Daraisa, we have Siyagim Rabbanan, but it might also be the case that there are siyagim drabanan in many, many, many mitzvahs, and many aveiros, many areas of halacha have siyagim drabanan attached to them. But which areas of halacha have the most siyagim drabanan attached to them? Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras and Shmach have the most siyagim drabanan, and particularly Basa B'chal, within Kashrus, particularly Basa B'chal V'chamas V'Pesach, they have the most Siyagim Drabbanan, and I would add they also have the most Siyagim Mitam Minhag, both in terms of ancient Minhag Yisrael that's Banyan, everyone as well as Minhag Ekehilos. Those areas tend to attract the most Siyagim. So it could be that's an extension of what Avos Reb Nosson is saying. Not only is the general notion of Siyagim Drabbanan is patterned after the overall general concept of Siyagim Daraisa, but specifically those areas the Torah doesn't. We don't have many Siyagim Daraisa. Only a few areas of Allah have Siyagim Daraisa. Siyagim Rabbanan are much broader, but still those areas that already have one or two Siyagim Daraisa, it's an indication that that's an area that's going to need a denser network of Siyagim Rabbanan, and perhaps also correspondingly a denser network of Siyagim Mitam Minna, Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taras HaMashbacha. And why is that? So I think Glenn was making, I think, an important point, wrapping us back to where we began. These areas have the most Siyagim in part because they're very attractive, the temptation is great. And that's, Messias Sharon points out extensively, in Perek Yud Aleph, the areas where we have the greatest desire, obviously, the areas we're going to have to invest the most work in raising our spiritual game. Ruv Gezel Mutam Barayos. This is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu built us. We have desire for property, other people's property. We have a desire for sexual drives, and we have a desire for food. And these are areas they're going to need, practically, they're going to need a denser network of boundaries and protective barriers to make sure that the daraisas are kept well. So in part it's a question of temptation. In part it's a question of chomer ha'iseh. Now there's a greater chance I'm going to fall in, greater risk I'm going to fall in, but the stakes are higher. Hilchos Shabbos is Isra Skila. Some of Kashrus is Isra Lavan, some is more. And Surah Rayos, as we said before, these are Averis Chamurus. But in addition to the sort of the practical question the psychological question of where is the greatest temptation, and the halachic question of the chomer iser. I think the third aspect is what Glenn mentioned. These are also areas of kedusha. Now, it's not only the question of the halachic stakes, but the hashkafic stakes, the agadic stakes, so to speak. Shabbos is certainly one of the most powerful sources of kedusha in our lives. And as we open, the Rambam Sefer Kedusha focuses not even on Shabbos, nor on Karbanos or Beis HaMikdash or Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah, but on the way we eat and the way we practice intimacy. So the opportunities for Kedusha here, done well, the opportunities for Kedusha are available in all areas of life. But in these areas in particular, the portal to Kedusha is open very, very wide. And that's why we really need to get it right. And there may be a relationship between these factors. There may be in part B that the Yetzirah is strongest specifically because the opportunity for the spiritual positive opportunities are so great. So it's not surprising, now coming specifically to our zone, so it's not surprising that the world of sexuality carries with it a series of siyagim. As mentioned before, Kiruv Basad, as Reb Nassim indicates, is Daraisa, at least with an erva. The Rambam seems to accept that. He seems to pass in that way in Perek Chaf Aleph, which you do not have in front of you. Perek Chaf Aleph of Yisurei Bia is dedicated to a number of the siyagim, and he opens with Kiruv Basar, with Negiyah. And he's very clear about the fact that it's Kiruv Basar in an inappropriate fashion with an erva. In Hareza Lokim and HaTorah, he's very clear that's an Issa Daraisa. It's a siyag Daraisa. Perek Chaf Beis is the Isser of Yichud. We get to Amir Tashem in the Mar Makamos to follow. And the Kamen Chabur will begin to explore the opening sugya in the end of in the Gemara's about Yichud. The opening sugya is what's the makar, and it appears to be this too is a siyag derizal. So do all Rishonim agree or not? But that fits very much into this pattern. But I want to close It's Yichud in particular. You have a Rambam in front of you. And you see, at the beginning of the... We'll get back to the beginning of Parakot Beis, where he says the primary issue of Yichud is also l'zachid in the erva min ha'arayos. The primary issue of Yichud is with an erva. For a man to be alone with someone else's wife, that's Yichud ha'arayos, that's the most severe issue. It's also Aser if she's not an Erva, but that's a lower level Iser. That is most likely, you know, only an Iser Drabbani. We'll get back to that. That's coming up in the Mar Makamos. What I want to turn to now is an appreciation of the significance of this Siyag. You know, the Gemara tells... The Gemara tells a powerful story. Now let's pass around. I guess we should have sufficient copies of it. I'll tell you to pass. Thank you so much. The main sugyas of Yichud, it's in several places in Shas, but the primary sugyas of Yichud and the main mission of Yichud, that the very end of Maseches Kiddushin, the second class, third class Mishnah, and Peyam Beis. We'll get to this soon in the Maram Kramos. But on Pey Aleph Amud Aleph, which here is on the other side of the page, I'm sorry for the confusing layout. Gemara tells a series, it's fascinating. The Gemara tells a series of stories. After an Amud dedicated to Lav, the demon that we'll get to, the Gemara gets to stories. Take a look at just one that's exceptionally powerful. Starts in the third wide line, Pe'alpha Manal. Hanach Shvuyasa. There were these women who have been taken captive, something that's incredibly on our minds. This was a situation which was less severe than the tragedy that confronts us at the moment. They were taken by pirates who were just interested in money, which was itself a terrible tragedy, but there was at least a solution. The solution, the pirates brought these Jewish women they had captured to the city of Nahar Dar, one of the largest Jewish communities in Babel at the time, and the community ransom paid for their freedom, and then they were going to figure out how to get them back to their hometown. They needed a place to stay meanwhile. So meanwhile, they said that these women need a place to stay. They brought them to stay in the home of Rav Amram the Tzaddik. He was known apparently as a great tzaddik. Or maybe he's called there specifically because of the story that's about to unfold. The way homes were built at the time, you had a second floor. It wasn't connected to the fourth floor with built-in steps. It was connected. It was a hole in the wall, a hole in the ceiling rather. And you had a ladder. And you want to get to the second floor. You slide the ladder over and you go up. Ashkulu dargim yikamayim. The women went up for the night, and then they moved the ladder away. Rav Amram had no business going up. They wasn't planning to go up there. They moved the ladder away. You have this opening in what for Rav Amram, the first floor was the ceiling. One of the women happened to be walking by the second floor, and he sees her through this opening, through the skylight. Nafal, by the way the light came through, Nafal Nahor bi Puma, the way the light came through, he was so taken by her. Shakli Rav Amram, Dargad Lahavi Yachlin Be'asar Le'medalia, Dalia L'chudei. There's this ladder, it was so heavy, you needed a whole group of people to move it. A whole group of people had moved it away, you know. And Rav Amram was so taken by desire, the adrenaline was rushing, and he moves this ladder all by himself, and he begins to go up the ladder to have an inappropriate relationship with this woman. Salak v'yazal. So he begins to go up the ladder. Kimata l'palga darga. He's halfway up. Ifshach. He presses his feet out against the sides of the ladder. In other words, he realizes, he stops, he goes, what am I doing? Where am I going? What am I doing? What's happened to me? And he doesn't want to let himself go all the way up. But he doesn't have the strength to get himself down. The desire is that great that he's literally caught in between. He's halfway up the ladder, and he's trying to not let himself go up. He's like squeezing, pushing his feet out against the ladder to not let himself go up, but he can't get himself to go down. It's such a visual, visceral. He's grappling. Caught between heaven and earth, in a certain sense. The Yetzer Tov is pulling him down, the Yetzer Hara, in this case, is pulling him up, and he can't, he's trying to machzik mamad, he can't get himself down, trying to hold himself back from going up, and what's he going to do? This is not a stable equilibrium. Something's going to give, and then which way are things going to go? So he, in an appropriate way, he pulls a fire alarm. What does he do? Because if I stay here much longer, I don't know whether I'm going to end up going down or I'm going to, Rahman Islan, end up going up. So he does the only thing he can do to end this, to solve the problem immediately. Rama Kala Nurabe Amram begins to yell, fire. There's a fire in Amram's house. People hear that through the open window. They all come running. The bucket brigade shows up to put out the fire. Asar Abanan, the other Tamei Chacham show up, and they discover that there's no actual physical fire. There's a fire of Taiva that's been burning in within Rav Amram, and you know he's halfway up the ladder, and they say, this is incredibly awkward. I'm like Siftina. This is incredibly embarrassing. We're embarrassed of you. This is an awkward situation. Amar lahu mutav tifsu be Amram ba'al mahadem lo tifsu b'nein la'al mudasim. He says, you're right, this is awkward. You're right, it's embarrassing for me. Far better that you're embarrassed of me now in Al Mazeh as opposed to my keeping my sins private and going all the way up the ladder and beating Megala Erva with this woman, and you'll be embarrassed of me, Lasid Love and Al Mabah. Powerful story. A very, very powerful story. And in a certain sense, Rav Avraham is incredibly heroic. He had taivas. Everyone has taivas. In this case, he fell into the grip of taiva particularly powerfully, and he manages to save himself in the only way that he can. He manages to pull back. The only way he can do is by publicly embarrassing himself, and he does. He literally pulls a fire alarm. And that, in this case, was the correct solution to the problem. So the Gemara has a series of stories like this. You take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam closes these halachas with Divrei Agadah. We have this Rambam at the very end. This is the end of this parak. This whole parak, Parak HaBeis, is dedicated to the halachas of Yichud, but it's the last parak in Hilchos Yisurei Bia. So the end of the parak is also the close of the topic, of the section. It's often the case that at the end of every sefer, sometimes even the end of other topics, the Rambam will close with Divrei Agadah. See, he does it more extensively. Nothing is harder for most people than maintaining Kiddush Latar in the area of sexuality, of intimacy. And he points out, it gives an interesting perspective to a well-known Maimar Chazal, B'Shosh.
Do we have it?
Yeah. On the side of the page. Should be on the side of the page. Perek HaBez, Halach Yudches. The whole Perek HaBez, Halach Yudches. It says, B'Shosh and Stav Yisrael HaRayos, Bachu, Kiblu Mitzvah B'Zu B'Tarum Zu B'Chia. Bachu L'Mishpachosim. As I'll say, comment, they were crying about Iski HaRayos. This was very, it can be very, very challenging. Quote more Amar Chazal, Gezel v'arayos, nafshes v'adim esavel machmedasim. That's the Maimar Chazal I mentioned before. I believe it appears in the Bava Basra. This is one of the areas of most common desire. And then he goes on to make a very, very striking statement, historical statement. Ein atamotze kahal b'chol zman uzman, she'ein behem prutzen baroz v'biyuz lasuris. Every society, every place in every century, there was always some percentage of the population that was loose in the area of sexuality. And he says, why do I make these psychological and sociological and historical observations? He says, that's why we have siyachim. You're going to need to be wise about the way you control and channel your desire in this area in particular. You're going to have to practice having clean focus and clean thoughts, which is managing hirurim can be a challenge, an important challenge. And then he says, there are a number of siyagim in this area of life, but you have to take particular care to be careful about Yichud Shehu Hagor Magadol. That is the great driver, which I think Al Pipshuto means there's only so much trouble you can get into if you're careful about Yichud. Ultimately, and being careless about Yichud is often the beginning of a terrible story. And he points out, Gedolei Chacham were careful about this. And this is just one example. You have a whole series of stories on that payoff and not payoff on days that the Gedolei Yisrael, Tadam Aram, were not embarrassed to say, I'm going to be careful about Yichud. The person has to be comfortable. They have to figure out how to, in different situations, you have to figure out how to phrase it in ways that will not be insulting or hurtful, but to be proud to be careful. He talks about other siyagim also. And then finally, closes with the Diase Tov. A person fills his mind. If Neatzmo Machshavto Divrei Torah, if I turn my thoughts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah, Yachav Daito B'Chachma. I fill my mind with wisdom. He says, an empty mind is asking for trouble. Machshav Esaros Misgaveres B'Leid Panim B'Nachachma. If I fill my mind with kedusha and usefulness, that's the best one of the best Asei Tov solutions. I think this also wraps us back into the various threads that we were talking about. We discussed, again, two major halachic fundamentals, appreciating the definition and the ramifications, nafkaminas, of the concept of Gilui Arayos, as it's the particularly severe subset of Isurei Bia, and appreciating the concept of a siyag, and particularly a siyag im daraisa, of which yichud is probably a prime example. And the point that Glenn made before, that the siyagim speak to practically, have a very practical aspect to them. The siyagim are a very honest, authentic recognition of human nature, that we have desires, and we have the capacity to control ourselves, and we need to be strategic about it. If we have goals, like any other goal in life, if we have to, clarity about goals that really matter to us, and then you have to figure out, okay, now that I've identified my goals, so what's the method, and what are the strategies, and what are the tools, and I have to be, as Gemara says in the second paragraph, so the Arba'ira, I have to be strategic in the way I set out to achieve my spiritual goals. So siyagim certainly capture that recognition both of the psychological reality of desire and also the psychological and spiritual reality of ambition, that we can succeed. It's not always easy. It is doable. We're going to need tools in order to get there, and that's where the siyagim come in. The siyagim speak, as you said before, also to the chomer ha'yaser, the recognition of the severity of the halachic values. And the third piece that Glenn had pointed out before, I think the Rambam is echoing here also. In addition to the technical, the psychological realities and the technical halachas, both of which are critically important, that the siyagim also speak to the kedusha, the beyond, the machshava, the agada to which the halacha brings us. The siyagim capture the concept of kedusha. The siyagim capture, and that's what I'm seems to be saying, I'm going to fill my life with kedusha, fill my mind and heart with kedusha. It's practically a solution. It's also fundamentally a solution. Parshas Kedoshim opens the Kedoshim to you. Ramban speaks broadly about living a life of self-discipline, and Kedusha is rooted in self-discipline. Rashi points it specifically to Purushim Min Haros. So here we're at the intersection of the two. Living a life of discipline and of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's guidelines, Kedusha Mitzvah V'Tzivana, the Kedusha that comes from Daraisas, and the Kedusha that comes from Siyagim. We'll explore as we see, in a positive sense, we'll get to maybe next time or the time after, Avi Ezri of Shach talks about the notion that Yichud maybe is not only a technical A leads to B type of Siyag, but more broadly also it's a recognition of the intimacy of space. To be alone with someone is already a sort of intimacy, even without physical contact. And it's a way of maintaining the Kedusha of the intimacy, of having the intimacy of space in an appropriate married context, and avoiding the intimacy of space in an inappropriate context, avoiding sort of contaminating the intimacy of space with inappropriate yichud, allows me not only to avoid inappropriate situations, but it maintains and elevates the holiness and the specialness of appropriate sexuality, of appropriate intimacy, in a specific sense, in the broad sense of the intimacy of space. So these are some of the halachic fundamentals and some of the hashkafic and agadic fundamentals that are at play in the Hilchos Yichud. So this is where we want to get to, and part of why we want to get there. So Mirtz Hashem, in the coming 2 weeks, we're going to begin to dive into the sugyas. Now that we know where we want to go and why we want to get there, now we're actually going to roll up our sleeves and start the work.